I would love to just speak. What I really would love, when I think of today's subject, is today's the feast of St. Peter's Chair. And what a powerful time for Providence and the Church to talk about the papacy. And that is the power of the papacy. This feast is not necessarily just a feast of St. Peter, but the chair of St. Peter. And we can see in the recent resignation and the looking forward of a conclave to the next pope how powerful the papacy is and how it dominates the news and the leadership for 1 billion of us who are Catholic Christians, and what it's going to mean for the Catholic Church and the whole world. Now, the Catholic Church is Jesus in the world, but Jesus is in his body that ever I always like to address him in my brothers and sisters who are Protestants. And the head of their Protestant churches is not the Pope. They do not see him as the head of their community. And some of them have more or less relationship to the Pope. But then there are the Orthodox and their brothers and sisters also, united in Christ through the sacrament of baptism. We are this huge force in the world. I would hope that as I address you on this occasion, that we would look to this office. And as fellow Christians, we see the significance of the Pope, and especially in our ecumenical unity, the unity of the body of Christ, united in one body, Jesus our head, believing in the Bible, the good news. And especially the Orthodox brothers, not only believing in the sacrament of baptism, but you who also have the seven sacraments of the Eucharist and all of the priesthood, all of the sacraments, how if we could come together in especially in this time when we look to the papacy and his new election, the effect this will have on the whole world. Jesus has sent all of us out to bring the good news to the world. And so all of us, in some way or another, are like a body that's pulling sometimes in different directions. But if that body could become more and more coordinated, one body, one mind, one heart, one spirit, isn't that what we are? And wouldn't it also be on earth someone who could lead us in a direction? I mean, all of us who are Christian, see the value of life. We are all pro-life. We are all aware of the harm of abortion. And so our communist brothers and sisters who are ruling China and are pro-choice, those who are giving our political and judicial parties who say in the United States that abortion is right, how many people die of the unborn? And so how heaven is looking at this divided universe, but that we who are Christian could be pulling for life. Those who are so pro-war, so easily brought to strife and warfare, to hear a voice like Paul the Sixth in the United Nations, no more war. Those horrible things that are going on in our world of famine and all kinds of horrible horrors that are happening to the human family of sickness and disease, and how if we could all join together in a civilization of love, a civilization of life, we who are Christians. Our leader in the Catholic Church is the Pope, and we all look to him for guidance and direction all over the world. In every hamlet and place in the world, the structure of the Catholic Church, when I look at it on my map, from Alaska and the north, and right from the top of Canada to the bottom of Argentina, in these Americas, there are bishops, and the structure of the church among the Eskimos, among the Native Americans, among all the provinces of Canada and the United States and Mexico and Central America and South America, all of the Africa. You know, when I think of the tribes, Kenya, where I'm heard sometime, Kenya is our 51 tribes in Kenya. There, Kenya is not a country. And you, my brothers who speak English in Kenya, you are under the dominance of the British. And so therefore your language, your second language anyway, would be English. And so therefore you would be able to understand me in Kenya. But you are all from various tribes. The church is in every one of those tribes. In South Africa, you know, the president of South Africa was Nelson Mandela, who was a member of the Church of England. He was an Anglican. All of Africa, there are Christians in the whole of Africa. The North, the East, East Africa, West Africa, Central, South Africa. All of Europe, all of, even Saudi has so many, although there's no official church there, it's banned by the king of Saudi. But Jesus is the king of Saudi. Russia, Eastern Europe, Asia, India, China, Australia. In every part of this world, the Catholic Church is there. And when the Pope steps out in Rome as the Bishop of Rome. He is the Bishop of Rome. And so he gives his blessing, Urbi, to the city. When he steps out in the Vatican and he blesses the city, he also blesses Urbi. That's Latin for the world. Because he is now this one who can gather us all. And when we listen and are pulling in one direction, listen to where that authority comes from. It's in today's gospel as we celebrate the feast of the chair of St. Peter. It goes back to Jesus. Blessed Protestants, blessed Orthodox, we may not agree at the interpretation of this, but this is what Jesus said. When Jesus came to the neighborhood of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question: who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And you, he said to them, who do you say that I am? You are the Messiah. Simon Peter answered, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of John. No mere man has revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. I say for my part, declare to you, you are rock. So he changed his name, which means Cephas or Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the jaws of death, or translated, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. I will entrust to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you declare bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you declare loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. And from that time, among the disciples, and after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, Peter was that rock and that leader of the church. And so today we look to this one who is Peter. When he was extending the kingdom of God on earth, he went to all the way to Italy, to Rome. And there on the Palatine Hill, where St. Peter's Cathedral is, he was crucified. And tradition tells us that he was buried there. When it came time to crucify Peter, he was crucified upside down. Tradition tells us also that when he preached the gospel, there were rivulets in his face from the tears that he had shed for having denied Jesus. That every time he told the story, he would weep and weep and weep. And when it came time for him to be crucified, he said, I am not worthy to have the same death as my master. Crucify me upside down. That's what tradition tells us. But he was killed there and buried. And some of the most recent excavations underneath the St. Peter confirm that, that we now celebrate where he had died in Rome. In this place, and now we have St. Peter's Cathedral and the Vatican. And after successor after successor, this is history in an unbroken line from Peter to Benedict XVI. I knew when I was a little boy growing up, I remember, and I was only, I think, 8 or 9 years old when I was listening to the radio. And I still remember this quite clearly as a child when I heard we had on our radio broadcasted from Rome. Habemus una papa, este cardinale Eugenio Pacelli. I still remember that. I was a little boy. And that's the one who became Pius XII. I remember seeing him. I was a priest. And just before he died, I went to Rome, and I always wanted to see the Pope. All of us Catholics have a kind of a calling, and it was my good fortune to be able to see him and be at St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. And it was like a dream come true. And then, of course, he died. And then I just remember I was a priest in East Strasbourg at that time when it was announced that John XXIII, Cardinal Roncalli, took his place. And then the Montini, Cardinal Montini, became Paul VI. And then that wonderful bishop, that cardinal that only lived for a month, John Paul I. And then John Paul II, who had such a long extended episcopacy. And then Benedict XVI. This marvelous chair of Peter, that these leaders that have, you know, there were, are there bishops and priests and popes that are in hell? I don't know. I imagine. I have Yeah, I know the moral health of the Pope. Hopefully, they will always be holy and good men. But of the first 12, is there a bishop in hell? I believe there is. Judas, who betrayed our Lord. And one of the weakest ones became the Pope, Peter, because we know that during the crucifixion, he denied him three times. So does it give him any moral ground higher than us? There it is, right there, right in the scriptures. What is the power that Jesus gave to the Pope was this protection against the gate of hell and the powers of the keys that have been with the church. And if he was going to found a church, which he did, then this church is the Catholic Church. This is the entity that I believe and that all of us fellow Catholics believe. My brothers and sisters who are Protestant and who are Orthodox, we love Jesus and we love and want to follow him. But as your brother in this feast of the chair of Peter, this is the faith I have, that this head of the church, what does he reflect? He hopefully, and to my way of seeing him, has reflected Jesus. That is really the greatest witness that he can be for us, to live his life and to lay down his life for what his title really should and must be for all of us. I want you to be the Servus Servorum Dei, the servant of the servants of God. When he was at the Last Supper, I am your Lord and Master, and I am giving you an example. As I have given to you, so also you should do. And then he gave him this power to be the authorities in the church. That power he has given to you also. And on this time that we celebrate the chair of Peter, I don't want to just spend all my time with you examining the conscience of the bishop or of the pope. But I would like during this Lent to examine my conscience and yours. That same Jesus that gave the power to Peter and to the Pope, and who gave Benedict XVI that same authority on earth to be witness of him who was the servant of the servants of God. And when I saw this man my age carrying the load of the whole world, that tremendous, grueling, rural work of being the Holy Father, the Pope of Rome, grinding him down, and I just thank God that he bore that weight as long as he could, and when his health failed, and when his body was telling him that he was not abandoning the church in the middle of a crisis, he was seeing that there was a way by which it could get the leader it really needs now. And where's he doing? He is going to pray. He is the Holy Father. He is the Pope. He'll be the Pope Emeritus. Why will he spend his days being that moral authority of prayer, of sacrifice, of love and example that he was meant to be until his master calls him home? He'll lead the life of a recluse, of prayer, and hermetic life of love. What a man. And then stepping in after the 15 days, I believe, when the conclave is brought together, that they're going to then elect a new pope, whom we will see, hopefully, as the leader in the church today. Well, I don't think I want myself or you to escape. You know, you dads who are husbands, do you talk about your wife to people? You wives, do you criticize your husbands to others? We are to love one another as Christ has loved the church. Do you love each other? And during this time of Lent, what is that sometimes that you say to your children about their mother? Or you say to your children about their father, criticizing your each other before others in the world? You should see what a nag she is. And when you go down to have a drink at the bar with your friends, is that how you talk about your wife or your husband? What are you doing this Lent to love her and to serve her and to help her and to assist her? You children, you know, I was just dealing with three girls yesterday. They're sisters. They are so horrible to each other and their family. How are you treating one another in your families? This Lent is for all of us to help, to serve, to assist one another. Brothers and sisters, to be loving and kind and gracious to one another. What are we doing this Lent to serve and to help others? How have we increased our prayer? When we see an example of prayer, what are we doing to make this world a better world? You know, does it apply to you that you have an attitude of a servant to others? Or are you bossy and demanding and expectant? And do you have a feeling that you're entitled? Is your position because of who I am in my family? Don't they see that these, and even if you're sick and in bed, even if it, whatever, I'm entitled to this. They should do this for me. Or do you, no matter what your circumstance, have a sense during this Lent, I am here to serve. I am here to contribute. Every member of the body of Christ has the opportunity to use his or her gifts for the building up of the body and the community of love. The body and the community of life. The world has grown dark because my light is going out. Or the world is being lighted up because my heart is so filled with the flame of the Holy Spirit of love. I pray on this feast of the chair of St. Peter for Benedict the 16th, that this wonderful, wonderful man, so loving and so caring and such a witness to Jesus, will have a happy and holy and blessed life today and every day of his life. I pray that he'll be happy and loving and beautiful in his retirement. And I pray that God will give the church a leader that is equipped and blessed for our time. This is a great time in the history of the world, as we come to the end of Benedict the 16th's pontificate and look forward to the pontificate of a new pope.
It is an extraordinary time,
isn't it?
What would you have us pray for in anticipation of this conclave? Yes, we pray for the new pope, but what should our prayer be for the cardinals and everything?
You know, there was very little preparation in the history of what should happen if a pope resigns. Now, I think that, you know, everybody, but there is a process. They used to have in even in John Paul's He gave a process that should be followed after his death, but I think 9 of those days were meant for the burial of the former pope, and that's why he put it from 15 to 20 days. But now, since there isn't any burial, because you know we're not going to bury him, he's just resigning. He's moving to this convent where he's going to be living in the Vatican, and so he's retiring from the pontificate. So 9 is a marvelous time. How about a novena to the Holy Spirit to call each of us? I would love all of us Catholic Christians, 1 billion, I think 200 million Catholics, to cry to the Lord and call upon the Lord for a holy and strong and enlightened and courageous leader. Call upon the Holy Spirit for 9 days. And there is that official novena that we had between the ascension of our Lord and Pentecost. So those 9 days we had when between the time our Lord ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and Peter was leading the church into the Acts of the Apostles history. That was the birthday of the church. And so as the church is undergoing this necessary change in leadership, I would encourage all of us to make a novena to the Holy Spirit, that we might have such a leader.
Any final thoughts?
I would just love to call upon the Spirit now, upon Benedict, upon the future Pope, and upon us. Come, Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, and in our hearts take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill the hearts which thou hast made, to fill the hearts which thou hast made. O Comforter, to thee we cry, thou gift of God sent from on high, thou font of life and fire of love, the soul's anointing from above, the soul's anointing from above. Praise be to thee, Father and Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. And may the Son on us bestow all gifts that from the Spirit flow, all gifts that from the Spirit flow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.